Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Right here, this is the spot, the location where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp. There he is. And the responses are never dull. Today we have Lenny Lazinski. He is the executive director of the San Diego Auto Museum. He brings with him about 25 years of nonprofit experience, fundraising, development, budgets anywhere from $2.5 million to $42 million. We're going to ask him how that feels to be in that hot seat. He has a master's in science and business management and leadership. And he also has a bachelor's of science in child and adolescent development. All that's going to come together for a recipe for success. So let's welcome him on the edge. How are you, Lenny?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this and talking to all the brains there.
See, he's all tuned in, brains. Well, I'm so excited. How I got to meet Lenny was that my mentor is on a committee. She is actually the chair. Is she a chair or co-chair?
She's a co-chair.
Okay, she's a co-chair for an upcoming event, brains. Look at this. Vroom, the party in the park. Now, if you don't live in San Diego, you ought to. But we are doing it, okay? And this museum is the cream of the crop. Every time I go in, the cars are just immaculate. The detail, the way that it's laid out. And the Auto Museum has been there since about 1988. And so it is really a staple in Balboa Park. Balboa Park is a great landmark here in San Diego. So Lenny has the privilege and of being the executive director. Tell us a little bit about how you show up in the world, friend, and where it all began for you.
Yeah, well, I'm a San Diego native, born and raised here.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Yeah. And I went to Cal State Northridge, and then I couldn't get back to San Diego fast enough. So I have my family here and everything. And you know what? If you would have told me, or asked me, sorry, if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I would ever work in a museum, I would have told you you're crazy, because I had zero aspirations to actually be in the museum industry. I was all about youth and child education. I have a degree in child adolescent development. I ran after school programs. I ran summer camps. I did tons of work just with children. And when I got hurt at one of my last job, took a year to rehab. And instead of sitting there and doing nothing, I actually got my master's degree in business leadership and management, because I always knew I wanted to get into the executive director C-level of operations of an organization. Mm-hmm. I just YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club or something of that nature. And to be honest, I applied as a practice for the interview questions, you know, because you want to get some good,
right,
so that you look good, look sharp, know the questions, anticipate. And I applied. My wife goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Hey, I love cars. I've always loved them." Ever since I was, you know, knee high, me and my uncle would always be working on cars every summer. Like, this isn't out of my wheelhouse. It's just not what I've been doing the last 20, 25 years. And I applied for the job, and they actually called me in. Then I was supposed to take my kids to Disneyland, and my wife goes, "You were going to Disneyland today." I was like, "Hey, my interview's at 10. We'll be done at 11. We'll be at Disneyland by 3. Like, we're fine." I came in, and that night they called me and offered me the job.
Wow.
I tell you what, I was very honest. You know, that famous question that everybody asks, "Is there anything that we haven't asked that you'd like to share with us?" And I told them, "Look, I can run a business you know, I can manage people. And if that's really what you're looking for, that's really what your job announcement says, this is why I've applied, because I feel like I could do it. I can do it. And I gave them examples of real world, how I've done each of the things that their job announcement actually requested somebody be able to do. And I said, if you're misinterpreting anything here, misrepresenting anything in here, don't pick me. But if this is true and honest, I'm your guy. And that night they gave me a call, and I tell you what,
the divine was right in line with your mission and your cause. You have a big, bold statement on the front of your website, and you talk about D&I, diversity and inclusion, brains. That means everybody is included. And his motto and philosophy is that they want their staff to represent the diversity as much as the diversity that they have in their showroom floor down in the bottom of the museum. They want to have the old, they want to have the new, they want to have the innovative, they want to have the broke so that they can fix it. They want to have the upper echelon. So I really get that. And I like how those two coincide with one another. What sets you on that path to be a trailblazer enough to just boldly put that as one of your mission statements out front?
Well, it's something that I just truly believe. You know, in San Diego, you know, military town, a little hodgepodge, everybody seems to have traveled here. Seems like it's smaller population of natives than there are of people who were born. And I was just raised that way, is everybody is unique and everybody brings something to the table, and everybody brings a different value. And if you don't include that and you don't make that part of your regular life and your regular business plan, and you're really going to fall behind. It is important to have a diverse thought process and have different real world experiences that you can draw on and people share. And I think it's imperative that organizations and businesses that, you know, they include everybody, particularly here in a museum, when you're trying to appeal to such a broad audience. This makes more sense to me, you know, and
it does. And I mean, it makes more sense that people just come to the realization that if every flower in the garden was the same, it'd be pretty boring.
Yeah.
So you take all of that wisdom and that, you know, good homegrown San Diego environment, but you're doing something bigger than that. You're not only using this for the museum, but you are creating a parallel with your other life as far as being a social activist, nonprofit, and working with youth in underserved and overlooked communities. Share with us a little bit about Vroom and the Party in the Park.
Yeah, Party in the Park. That's our big gala. Rena would tell me, don't call it a gala. It's the Party in the Park.
Yeah.
But most people will correlate it to a gala. You know, I've been a part of big galas before in the past. And when we kind of thought to do this, of course, once we got the co-chairs, we knew we could make it possible. But we had last year 500 people participate. We raised $750,000 that night. And that money that we raise helps us deliver and impact the community, our mission, and helping at-risk youth in the community, so that at-risk youth are defined by us by living at or below the poverty line. And what we want to do is give them resources and skills that they can create a career out of. I mean, everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, nobody really thinks about it, but car painters, a good one, is making $200,000 a year.
Don't let it be a lowrider or
a
classic car, please.
And mechanics are $150,000 probably to start. I mean, these are very lucrative businesses. Mm-hmm. And education as a whole has really pushed towards college as that success, but not everybody's four-year bound.
Right, absolutely.
And there's trades that really, you know, are the backbone of our community. And look, we're all connected by a car. Transportation, we're all connected that way. And as I was sitting talking with people, I was like, man, we have so many connections that it's a shame we don't use these connections to benefit other than ourselves. Right. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we've got San Diego High School down the street. We're working with some interns. And we just started snowballing it. And it just became this great program that we've launched that gives at-risk youth an opportunity to experience. So we take 10 months while they're in school and we do different experiences. We might take them to the La Jolla Concourse. We took a few kids down there. They had never put on a jacket or a tie. And here we are taking them to a concourse. They're learning that. They're also getting to see the cars. We take them to different race tracks. They can see how the races work. They go to different dealerships. They get to see the ins and outs of business. And if we spark something in them, then we can give them a mentor in that field and allow them to learn and grow. And when they graduate high school, they're going to have a portfolio of individuals that they can call upon.
Absolutely.
In the work environment. I mean, well, it's just,
I had the opportunity to be in the meeting with you, and I really found it fascinating how you take it even a step further. You go from cradle to grave. You take these young people into dealerships, how to finance, how to repair the vehicles. And I mean, we're talking state-of-the-art vehicles. You're going to be transforming or partnering with one of the local high schools to use their workshop facility. So you are really, really planting your feet, or should I say your wheels, you're putting the rubber to the road, right?
Absolutely, that's what we're doing. And, you know, that's, again, I think it's, you know, the God intervened here. He said, look, you've got all this passion, this skill set working with youth. You've done a lot with at-risk youth. It's time to take this somewhere else.
Right.
And I, you know, I tell you what, I race to work and I'm slow to leave. Every day I'm excited to be here because I know the work that we're doing isn't just, I mean, we have a cool museum. You said it yourself, coming here is exciting. We've got some cool stuff.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
It's more than a place to have cool cars. I mean, we're really going to change lives, impact lives, and really make a big difference. And this program, while it's on, you know, it's in infant stages now, I really believe this is going to be a national program. I really believe that other museums and other entities are going to see what we're doing and want to copy it. And
well, it's a unique business model because I always tell people, you know, I've been in, that's where I met, you know, Rena, in the nonprofit arena. And they have to learn to be a little bit more self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. The days of the endowments and the, you know, the big time donations and sponsorships, they're dwindling down. So you're going to have to be able to, you know, get that ignition going and get a spark in. But I tell you who was the spark plug of this one, the Manchesters, Doug Manchester of the Manchester family. Y'all know him, Big Doug down Hyatt. Oh, yes. Is he the featured sponsor, underwriter? I don't know how you would.
He's our honoree.
Okay.
So part of what we do with our event here is that we honor local philanthropists or people that are into the car industry and what they've done. So our first year was the Hohens, and then this year will be Doug Manchester. And, you know, Doug Manchester is so philanthropic. I think that people don't really understand, you know, how kind his heart really is at times. And it really is an honor to have him a part of our organization. I mean, the guy's just brilliant. So,
well, I know. And, you know, he's smart. He's a brain. I love that. And again, sharing that wisdom with people. You want to be a dream catcher, not a dream crusher. So let's ask some fun questions about you that people probably don't know.
Okay.
If you were a car, what kind of car would you be and why?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think I'd go back to that 64 Impala.
Really?
And it was my first car, so I'm going to say that that's the car that I would be. And I think the reason I would choose that car is it can be a family car. It can be a show car with a low rider. It could be a race car. So it can be a chameleon itself. And I really feel that that's kind of, you know, adapt to the environment that it's in. And a Swiss utility vehicle, basically, Swiss Army knife. So.
Well, not me. I'd like to be like a 1972 Corvette. Long, sleek, slick and quick.
There you go. There you go.
If you had three wishes, what would they be?
Hmm. I would for society's health, mental.
Oh yes, please.
I would wish that you know, people be open, kind of go old school. I believe we used to be more apt to listen to individuals' differences and value their differences. So people value differences rather than see them as a negative. I'd wish for that. Mm-hmm. And then third, I would just wish that everybody would come to the museum and support us.
That is super cool. I love that. What are three things that you can't live without?
My wife, my kids, and my vacations.
See, Brains, he didn't include his car. That's good. What would you tell a 25-year-old Lenny Lewinsky?
Go through the doors that are opened. You know, people, they have these opportunities and they take, a lot of times they overlook them. They think like, oh, I shouldn't do that. And they underestimate it. If the door gets open, go through it. See what's on the other side.
Just like you did when you went on that interview. You yeah. shock yourself.
Yeah, but it took a long time to learn that. And I would tell my 25-year-old self, do it. You know, I feel like I've missed some opportunities along the way. Granted, that got me to where I am today. But yeah, if you have the opportunities, go take advantage.
Okay. And what would you pour into a youth right now that just kind of really is lost and, you know, they're looking for a hand up and sometimes a handout? What would you say to them?
I'm here for you. Oh. You know, and people need to hear that. I'm here for you. You're a great person. Let me know how I can help. Because if you try to force something on somebody, they're going to resist it. But if you just say, I'm here, and when you're ready, I'm ready.
Well, we're ready to embrace love and a fast car. Brains, I'm going to show it to you again. This is the party in the park. Now, I don't know, but we're doing real good and sell at those tables, but there is still an opportunity to be a part. We are looking for amazing gift items for the silent auction and the live auction. You can sponsor tote bags, water bottles. You can underwrite things. You can come to the museum and check it out. Matter of fact, I've got two tickets. And for one of my brains that responds to this with a like, love, or share, I'm going to give you those two tickets. Now, look, you got to be here in San Diego because I'm not going to send a car for you. But this is going to be September the 8th. All the information is right here. I'm going to put it down at the bottom. I want you to go and check it out. Take your kids, take your grandma, take your girlfriend. There's something for everybody there. It is beautiful. Lenny, thank you so much. I really appreciate your heart, your passion, your drive, and what you do as a staple in the community and in the world of philanthropic works. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm gonna be a brain follower now.
All right, okay. Brains, get it together. Get a ticket or donate something. You guys know where to find me. I will come and get it. And I want something really nice because this is gonna be, you know, it's going to be parsnickety. You want to be represented in the best kind of way. All right. Thank you so much, Lenny. I'll talk to you again soon, friend.
All right. Thank you.
All right.